All right, Colonel Todd Fitzpatrick is with us, talking about Northern Strike. And good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jack.
Yes, well, hopefully by the time you guys get Northern Strike going, all this Canadian wildfire smoke is gone, because it's pretty thick here this morning. I don't know about down there.
It absolutely is in the northern lower as well. We're experiencing some air quality issues just like you are.
Does that affect anything? If it sticks around, does that affect what you do or no?
Not really. It does, you know, the obscuration can affect flight visibility, but generally has not impacted any operations, and we don't anticipate any issues.
Well, let's talk about Northern Strike, because I know a part of it has in the past dealt here in the Upper Peninsula at Sawyer International. The former KI Sawyer Air Force Base, mostly, of course, down at Grayling. But talk with me about the training, what it is you guys are doing.
Yeah, so this year's Northern Strike, again, we do two a year. We do a winter iteration in late January, and then our larger exercise the first 2 weeks of August. So much like in previous years, we've got a large joint multinational training audience, approximately 7,500 people, 10 countries represented, over 110 units from all over the globe. So Northern Strike focuses on, again, that joint interoperability between all of these, you know, these entities that don't normally get a chance to work together. And we've got one of our biggest iterations ever coming up in the next week.
So what is it that you do? What is it that you're preparing for? All eventualities or what?
Yeah, so this Northern Strike replicates a large-scale combat operation. So this is absolutely, you know, the intently focused on kinetic action. It is a live fire exercise. Again, you know, focus on joint integration of all sorts of effects and fires across all five domains of warfare. So, yeah, we're really preparing for the worst day.
Well, of course, we're all hoping that that worst day never comes, but what is it that you're preparing for, and indeed with your international partners?
Well, so, you know, nothing specific, right? We look at all eventualities, and we like to train together with our foreign partners within the DOD, within our interagency, before we have to do it for real. So that's really the key, is focusing on, you know, our interoperability and rehearsing the, you know, the things that we need to do in a kinetic fight before we actually have to do it.
Describe what it's like to be with folks from other countries and doing, you know, working together as a team, even though you're on different teams, if you will.
Right. Yeah, it's actually one of the, you know, the most positive points of feedback we get from this exercise is, you know, so many, even within our own, you know, Department of Defense, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, you know, have very few opportunities to truly work together. And when you take that to the next level and you bring in our foreign partners, it's really an eye opener. And it speaks to our ability or inability to be interoperable and to work together toward the same objective. So it's really becoming one of the things that we do best here and what brings people back.
Colonel, you're obviously not doing this just for the hell of it, right? I mean, you're doing this because there is a need to be prepared. So what is it that you have as a goal, really, for your guys?
So our goal is really to, we don't focus, even though we have a larger scenario, it is an Indo-Pacific scenario. We call it Decisive Action Training Environment, DATE. The scenario runs the exercise, but we're truly focused down to the, you know, even the platoon and company level, ensuring that commanders meet their individual training objectives. So every unit comes in a different, you know, stage of readiness, if you will. And some units are going to have you know, higher training objectives at a higher echelon. Others are going to focus more at the team and squad level. And we build the exercise so that we can try to meet every commander's needs based on the level of proficiency that they come in at. Now, we mandate secure communications. So, you know, there are certain things, minimum standards that units have to meet to be here. But again, we really like to tailor the exercise so that everybody is able to meet their individual objectives.
Now, clearly, people won't be able to go on their phones and their scanner app and listen in. What will or will not civilians be able to see or hear from these exercises over the next couple weeks?
Well, you know, focusing on Grayling and then the Alpena Combat Readiness Training Center, you know, most of our fixed wing laydown will be in Alpena. So, you know, increased amount of traffic in and around that area. Our air-to-ground range in Grayling is much more active during this time with both surface-to-surface fires and air-to-surface fires. So, you know, a little more boom than usual for the residents of northern Michigan. But other than that, we're surprisingly quiet.
Now, what about up here in Marquette?
Yeah, so we do have a small footprint in Marquette, and they're doing some very specific training, and their training takes them, their scenario takes them from Marquette, and they will end up, you know, in the Grayling area. But they're doing some what we call combined forcible entry training, that, you know, practicing actually seizing and holding an airfield. And you know, like you said, the old Air Force base makes just an awesome setting for that. And then, you know, we'll have some maritime operations going on in both Lake Superior and Lake Huron. Again, not very visible, but it's all part of our exercise.
And overall, I guess, what are you hoping to accomplish out of all of this? You mentioned land and air and sea.
Yep. So again, all five domains of warfare. So we are trying to, you know, get training audiences to open their eyes to what's actually going on in the world. So we all talk about air, sea, and land, and we tend to forget about cyber and space. So those two domains are covered as well. We want to show units, you know, we have a very robust oppositional force. We have very creative ways of stressing units in the field, be it UAS harassment, electronic attack, jamming radios, jamming GPS. So we want them to experience that chaos in a contained training environment before they ever have to do it in the real world.
Yeah, Colonel, that was going to be my last question is how do you, everybody going in knows it's a drill and it's not real, yet you want them to feel like it's real. Like if you're in a football practice, you know, you're practicing against your buddies, right? Well, sometimes it's good to practice against another team.
Absolutely. And that other team, we take great pride in our ability to, we actually uniform personnel differently so they look like they're on another team. You know, we outfit them with the same, you know, tactics and procedures that a common enemy would use. And again, we're using techniques of modern warfare to demonstrate to service members that this is for real and this is actually happening in other parts of the globe, as we all know.
Yeah, for sure. Anything you'd like to say directly to the civilians up here in northern Michigan about what's going on and how, you know, important it is?
No, just other than a great big thank you. We truly appreciate the support, you know, of the populace around Grayling and Alpena especially. And we love the interaction and we love to bring, you know, this exercise to, you know, the most beautiful part of the state every year. And we appreciate the cooperation and the continued support.
Well, and I'm sure your guys will eat a few hamburgers and maybe have a couple of beverages at some of our establishments up here too. So
I bet they will.
Well, thank you, sir, for doing this. It's great talking with you again, as we do twice a year, and have a good successful training mission here.
Yeah, we hope too, Jack, and I appreciate your time.